Royal Credit Union Smart Checking Accounts offer no monthly fees and no minimum balance. Make the switch to a Royal Checking Account and you'll also get real-time transaction alerts, free mobile check deposits, and surcharge-free access to over 40,000 ATMs across the U.S. Enjoy financial freedom with no minimum balance and no monthly fees when you switch to Royal Smart Checking Account. Learn more and open your Royal Credit Union Smart Checking Account online at rcu.org/gochecking. Insured by NCUA.
Na 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 na, hey 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 hey, goodbye. Sorry, dramatic, but you guys know I love singing the intros. Minnesota Wild season concluding this week, regular season over, full season over. We're gonna take a brief peek into some of the players that have us being excited for next year, as well as take a look back at the Frozen Four and the DU champs. And what are we going to call the Salt Lake City squad? All that and more in this week's episode of Bar Down Beauties. As always, created by New Voice Studios, brought to you by SodaSick, presented by Talk North, Grain Belt, Royal Credit Union, Livia, and Jim Beam. This is Season 5, Episode 224. New drop alert! The Minnesota Wild celebrate and honor Marc-Andre Fleury's 1,000th game, and you can get in on the memorabilia action with an all-new exclusive SodaStick and Hockey Lodge t-shirt and hat drop. Grab your piece of history with a one-of-a-kind hat or tee that commemorates one of the greatest attendees in Wild and NHL history. Don't miss out on this fantastic collaboration between SodaStick and the Hockey Lodge. At Jim Beam, they know the importance of tradition. Like chanting, let's play hockey prior to the start of each game, or playing the state of hockey anthem after a Wild win. This season, raise one to your fan family with a bourbon that invites us all to come as friends and leave as family. Jim Beam Bourbon Whiskey, the official bourbon whiskey partner of the Minnesota Wild and XL Energy Center. Drink smart. Jim Beam Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. 40% alcohol by volume. Copyright 2021. James B. Beam Distilling Company, Incorporated, Claremont, Kentucky.
Hello, everybody. What's up? Episode 224 of Bar Down Beauties. I'm Jesse Pierce, writer for NHL.com, golf extraordinaire. She's Kirsten Kroll. A little bit of everything. Hobie Baker, kind of a winner. I think you're the winner of the Hobie Baker each and every year. I'm just saying with all that you do. And proud dog mom. Fun time. What's up, Kirsten?
Thank you. I did get a picture with the trophy. So who's the real winner, me or Macklin Celebrini?
This is true.
That's for everybody else to decide, but the jury's out on that one. But yes, my sweet little angel, Bodie, I've kicked him out of this office 3 times now, and he keeps coming back.
So, each and every time.
Stop. I just took his bone from him. No one come for me. He's being annoying.
You know what? But that's just tough love. That's what a mom would do.
Yes.
Each and every time. I don't know about you, but like my days have been so screwed up. Like I think I thought last Wednesday was Thursday, and it's been go, go, go because we were both busy at the Frozen Four. Some great talent, and shout out to the state of hockey for showing up. I think everybody was very, you know, curious about what the crowds would look like because you've got no Minnesota teams. There were very few Minnesota connections in general between BU, BC, Denver, and who am I forgetting? Who? Oh my gosh.
Michigan.
Michigan. That wasn't trying to be an intentional slight, mind you, Michiganders. But gosh, what a weekend, Kirsten. What did you make it? The Pioneers taking home the victory, downing BC 2-0 behind some fantastic goaltending, by Maddie Davis, a free agent. Rieger Lorenz gets a goal and an assist in that championship game. Ziv Boyum. Thank you. Ziv Boyum doing his thing. He is draft eligible this year. Good championship game. I'm a little surprised Denver did it, but I don't think you are. I think you had mentioned that they were a team to watch.
Well, first off, just going back to the attendance, I wasn't super surprised how great the attendance was just because college hockey fans are dedicated. I mean, you see all of the North Dakota jerseys scattered throughout the arena. Dakota fans are going to everything, regardless of if North Dakota's there. And just being in Tampa last year, too, it was a little bit more of the same. Granted, Minnesota really came out down to Tampa because also I think it was snowing here last year when the Frozen Four was going on in Tampa. So why not have a free vacation going your way, especially in beautiful Tampa?
Side note, did you see, though, that because it hit 84 degrees by 5 p.m. puck drop on Saturday, it was actually the second hottest puck drop second to only Tampa's last year because Saturday was gorgeous.
I did not know that. Yeah, I did not know that. So way to go, Minnesota. Minnesota did really show up. And yeah, just college hockey fans from literally everywhere, like a jersey for every single school is pretty much represented at the Frozen Four. But yes, going back to that national championship game, I also talked to Dave Starman after the game. And we had talked too, like they had mentioned the keys to their game was Boston College has four players and you need the key to the game is Denver to shut down those four players, play a good defensive game and they have a chance. That is exactly what they did. They kept Boston College off the board. It was 2-0. You shut down that top line of Will Smith, Ryan Leonard, Gabe Perl, and then Cutter Gauthier as well. You cut all of them down and they came out with the win. David Carl, the way what he's done with that program is just fantastic. And give credit where credit's due. Denver's goaltender was also out of his mind. It was a great game.
You know, and I got to give you credit because I think you've been saying for the past 2 weeks that David Carl deserves a look at the NHL. And certainly after he helped Denver claim their 10th NCAA championship, more and more people were saying that. How likely do you think that is? You know, I was in the locker room post game while he was giving his speech and obviously, you know, being a college coach is so dramatically different. I mean, there's a lot of elements that are the same, but right, I mean, I love covering college hockey for this weekend in just because there's raw emotion. It's so different than covering it when it's a job for the pros. But how likely do you think it is? Do you see David Carl? I mean, there are certainly teams that could use a new head coach. We have been talking about on this podcast for the past couple of years. New blood in the NHL coaching regime would be so fantastic. And he's young. I mean, he's a young dude. I saw he's got a young kid, young wife, too. So, I mean, you wonder if that's something that he is keenly interested in or if he enjoys his college level. Like we've talked, Scott Sandlin at Duluth has certainly liked to stay down here. What are your thoughts on David Carl and the realistic potential of him moving on up?
First off, Denver, first to 10 baby and death taxes in the NCHC. NCHC producing yet another national champion. So I'm just giving a boast to the NCHC, best conference in all of college hockey. Tight competition there every single year. And it's come to show when you look at how many recent national champions they've produced. So that's my little soapbox there. Also, going back to David Carl, I believe he's 34 years old. I can't imagine there have not been some organizations or some chatter, AHL at the minimum, who have reached out to him in discussing like what his plans are. I think he's very happy at Denver, especially right now. You just win another national championship. Mm-hmm. It's tough to say. I don't know if he wants to continue to ride the wave and maybe see if they can do it again next year. I don't know. I can't imagine, though, that there hasn't been somebody at a higher level knocking on his door, gauging his interest.
Yeah, I think that, again, that conversation, that chatter picks up after watching what he's done with this program, not just this year, but as you'd mentioned, the past couple seasons. I mean, Denver last won it in 2017,
right? And not to mention, he's won multiple national championships with Denver now. Yep. I believe this is his second or third. There's only so much more you can accomplish
right.
as a head coach in Denver. So I believe Jim Montgomery was the last head coach of Denver University before David Carl took over, and he was picked up by the Dallas Stars. So just like the coaching pipeline in the NCHC and Denver specifically.
And David Carl led Team USA to gold at World Juniors this year. So again, it's not just there. He's got a higher pedigree. So I would certainly love to see it. Shout out to all the players that were there. Like I mentioned, it's very different covering college hockey, I realize, than it is the pros. I mean, not only are some of the protocols different, obviously, but it's also I have a conscience when it comes to talking to these college athletes. They're reminded very quickly that they are young men who are, you know, playing for their college team. I did love the response. Obviously, as I'm there, I'm covering it for the NHL, so I have to ask these kind of obnoxious questions, gauging when they're going to sign with their pros. A lot of them have already done that. Cutter Gauthier is with the Anaheim Ducks now. A couple other guys I saw signed with their respective NHL teams. But that was hard, Kirsten. Like, I'm not going to lie. I did not like going into a room of a losing team and just seeing the tears and then having to be like, what's the next steps? I am proud of myself. I really tiptoed around it. I didn't, you know, I just said, how do you unpack this? What do we think for the next few days? What has this team meant to you? Because it is, there's the elation on the one side of the rink, and then there's heads hung low in pure devastation. So it's just, it's a very interesting thing to navigate something. I mean, something I've never really had to navigate again at the pro level because they're pros. They have to handle it that way. But these are 17, 18-year-old guys, so it's definitely very different. I did love that BU stuck around and hung out for Macklin Celebrini, who did indeed win the Hobey Baker as the top college hockey player this year at just 17 years old. I know the last team that had done, I think they did that last year, Michigan did as well for Anna Fantilli, right? And I heard it's like $30,000 extra because the NCAA doesn't cover that. So I think that's pretty darn cool to be there, you know, especially coming off a loss. BU had a tough go against, Denver. Lost in overtime, but how cool was that? How was the Hobey celebration? Macklin, certainly going to be an easy number one overall pick. He had a hell of a year, but he's smart. He's got a good size for him. I think he's somebody that will make an immediate impact in the NHL, much like Connor Bedard.
Yeah, the Hobey ceremony was great. Jackson Blake, he also was there. Brad Berry with North Dakota was there to support him as well. I didn't get a chance to see how many, if any, North Dakota players were there specifically, but all of Boston College was there for Cutter Gauthier. All of Boston University there cheering on Macklin Celebrini. He won. The whole entire team came up on stage, took a picture with him with the trophy. So that was really cool. And just the room erupted anytime his name was called. Being announced, he won the Tim Taylor National Rookie of the Year as well. Just cheers throughout the entire ballroom. The thing about Macklin that stood out to me, I was fortunate enough to get a chance to talk to him right after he won. 17 years old, you could tell he was overwhelmed. And but also take into consideration, he's 17 years old. He hasn't even gone through any NHL media training yet. You look at Jackson Blake, Cutter Gauthier, other previous winners. They've gone through that media training. He hasn't. And plus, he's the youngest player to ever win the Hobey Baker Award. So you could tell he was very overwhelmed and everyone wanting to talk to him after he was announced the winner, and just how he was able to just handle the media and just be graceful and kind of process such a big moment. I asked him, I was like, has this really sank in yet? Like, do you really realize like what this means to join this exclusive group of collegiate athletes who have won this award yet? And then he's like, I'm just trying to take it minute by minute. He handled himself very well. So I can only imagine what a whirlwind of an evening that was for Mr. Celebrini.
Yeah, no, I agree. Speaking with him post game, obviously he had to come meet the media after they lost in that semifinal round. And I thought he handled himself very well there. You know, he kind of stood up, said what he needed to say, answered the tough questions, which is always hard because, again, he's 17 years old. I will say, if I were him, this is my tip to you, Macklin, I'd go back another year, just one more year. I love me some college hockey. Not only, I think, would it be great for college hockey, which as a whole, Kirsten, I love the growth that we've seen in college hockey. You're seeing guys like him, like Adam Fantilli. I mean, generally speaking, especially in the Canadian world, it's major juniors and then pros. But now you're seeing more and more of that top Canada or Canadian talent come down to college hockey. And I think that's so tremendous. It is huge for the game, not to mention USA Hockey obviously growing their own homegrown talent, which this college hockey has always kind of been that pathway. But no, for Macklin, I think I would go back another year, not only because I feel like he probably thinks there's unfinished business, right? I mean, it didn't go the way that they'd wanted to. I think they'd still have a solid squad next year. But also, he's 17, man. Like, I mean, Connor Bedard's doing some ridiculous things, but I think Connor Bedard's somebody that's recognized. You're playing against men. Like, you were going up against some big guys, and there was a couple instances against Denver on Thursday night where Macklin got pushed off the puck a little easy because Denver has some bigger bodies and some older guys. So I think I would just go back one more year. Selfishly, it'd be fun to watch him again, as I mentioned, at the college level one more year. But I know those NHL contracts can be very alluring.
Not even that. I just think going into the draft, assuming almost inevitable, you're going to be the first overall pick. Whichever team scoops you up, they're going to want you right away. But I don't know, just even he's so young, 17, and even standing next to him, I mean, he's got good size on him for being 17, but he is still fairly small considered to, like you mentioned, the men you're going to be going up against in the NHL. I think another year of college hockey would do him very well, but I just don't see that happening.
And I imagine you'll get another year at least for Rieger Lawrens, who was a second-round draft pick for the Minnesota Wild. I had a chance to chat with him for Wild.com and for NHL. He's got some good size to him. And, again, he had a goal and an assist in that championship game. you know, there's a little bit of excitement. I don't think there's been a whole lot of focus. I'm excited to see him at development camp this upcoming June, but nice for Minnesota Wild prospects to have success. But I imagine he's somebody you will not see down the pipeline. With that, let's switch gears to some of the prospects we did get to see this week in Kirsten. I know you and I had kind of a side eye on the Wild as they were playing late into the evening in San Jose and in Vegas. But Liam Ogren makes his NHL debut. He gets his first NHL goal. Murat Kuznetdinov gets his first NHL point with an assist, again, between Friday and Saturday. This is what we're doing, right? From here on out, we're going to, next week, we will have a full breakdown, you guys, of the Wild season. Look ahead to the postseason this week. We're going to kind of touch and go a little bit. But Liam Ogren, he might be all he's cracked up to be. I think he's somebody that's definitely going to buy for a roster spot come training camp next year.
I'm very excited. I want to see some more looks at him. I want to see him play up against like an actual solid team. No disrespect to San Jose, but you're tied for last in the freaking league. Like, you've been a crap show all season long. So yes, like, I don't want to take anything away from Liam Ogren scoring his first NHL goal, making his NHL debut. He's getting his feet wet. I take it with a grain of salt until I see you play against a good team.
That's fair. I'll still give it to him. You know.
I don't want to take anything away from him, but I need to see it against a good team before I really am like, yeah, like, this kid has got it.
You're right. I mean, I think it's good that the Minnesota Wild took advantage of San Jose, as they should have. I also kind of maybe think it's okay that Vegas took advantage of Minnesota, as they should have, right? I think it's just kind of, this is where you're at. I love that John Hines continues to give these young guys. Liam Ogren's the one that probably most excites me. I think Murat still has a little bit of a ways to go. I would not be surprised if maybe we see him in the American Hockey League next year. And Liam Ogren as well, right? Again, we know where the roster's at. We know about the no moves. We'll talk about that next week. But I am curious as to how that shakes out, because Liam Ogren, just in his debut, yes, looked good. But you're right. Maybe it's because it's who it was against, and that was against San Jose. And that's what happens. They've got games coming up this week against LA and then the Seattle Kraken, the final home game, as well as the final regular season game of the season. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll dive a little bit more into the Minnesota Wild for the next two games, as well as take a look at the expansion teams and the NHL as a whole, because, Kirsten, we're only 5 days away from the Stanley Cup playoffs getting underway.
Yeehaw.
Yeehaw. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Hey guys, Jesse Pierce here for Livia Weight Control Centers. Who is ready to spring into the warm weather? It's been beautiful outside. I know I've been enjoying it. Hopefully you have too, and it's only going to get better. Spring ready the Livia way and lose up to 10 pounds in your first 2 weeks. When you join Livia, you'll receive a personalized and doctor-recommended program tailored to your unique goals and lifestyle. Livia's amazing team of registered dietitians and nutritionists will guide you every step of the way, providing you with the tools, support, and motivation that you need to succeed. If you join Livia today, you can get 3 months absolutely free. I've started my journey a couple months ago, and I have loved it. And you know what? There's a new option that you can also include with your nutritional program, and that's Livia Medical. I've been on Livia Medical for the past 2 weeks to help me break down those biological barriers that can make losing weight so hard. It's helped accelerate my weight loss. I have lost 4 pounds in just 2 weeks with the added Livia Medical to my nutritional program. It works for me. It certainly can work for you. Don't forget to get Livia a call at 855-GO-LIVIA or visit Livia.com. Again, first 3 months, absolutely free. Let them know Jesse Pierce and the Bar Down Beauty sent you. All right, guys, we're back. As I mentioned, not a whole lot. Kirsten and I, we've covered it all. We've talked about Marcus Johansson. We've talked about John Merrill. We've talked about the goaltending. We've talked about Kirill. Anybody else on this Wild team that has maybe surprised you as the season goes, whether for the better or for the worse? Is there anybody that you're like, oh, this is good, or anybody that moving forward, or is it all kind of the same again? We've done a great job of coverage this year. Shout out to us. And it's hard to keep beating the same dead horse, but I don't know. Matt Boldy would be one, I guess, I could kick it off. I think Matt Boldy, to me, has been, I don't want to say a surprise, but I think he's found a better consistency this year, which I think is huge. I think there was still some struggles early on, but Matt Boldy, again, is another reason to be very excited about this future. I think he's somebody that has started to just really find his groove, and again, that could be with the line mates that he's playing with. So I'm going to give a hat tip to Matt Boldy on the good side of things. Who is your good side of things that you want to give a hat tip?
For me, there's three. Two are very obvious. Brock Faber and Marco Rossi. I mean, Brock Faber stepping up, being the guy we needed him to be defensively, playing the big minutes, and also not only just playing the big minutes, producing all of the points that he has, becoming potentially the front runner for the Calder Trophy. I don't know if we could have really seen that happening at the very start of the season. So Brock Faber is another obvious one. Marco Rossi also just taking advantage of training camp last season, doing the work he needed to do, really putting in the work, and finally getting the benefits of all of that hard work he has put in behind the scenes. Especially, let's not forget, just a couple years ago, he had the heart condition that kept him out of hockey for an entire year. So coming back from that and being one of the most talked about rookies in the league this entire season, one of the best forwards on the Minnesota Wild this season, that's been huge. So I would say those are the two obvious ones for me. But one who was pleasantly unexpected, Declan Chisholm. He was the defensive player we needed him to be. A steal off of waivers from Winnipeg also. So he's another player who's also really impressed me.
I was going to mention him as well back on the blue line. I think Declan Chisholm was a great pickup on waivers. And I don't think that was indicative of how he was as a player for Winnipeg. I actually spoke with some of the Winnipeg media when they were in town a couple weeks ago, and they said they're just log jammed. They're really putting – Winnipeg's really loving Logan Stanley, and they're really trying to make that work. And there's other defensemen that they just didn't find a way to have Declan Chisholm be a part of that, which was interesting because you're right. I've loved what I've seen from him. He's steady back there. He's got an offensive potential. He's great on special teams as well. Great waiver pickup for nothing on Declan Chisholm. Mm-hmm. So I think obviously he'll be a big part of this moving forward. On the bad side of things, on the blue line, and I know it's hard to get mad at because I love Alex Goligoski. He was my favorite Gopher. He's a Grand Rapids kid. He's won a Stanley Cup. He's been in the league for quite some time. But I'm going to say it. I'm mad that he didn't offer to waive a no move or a no trade, and he just sat in the press box. You know what I mean? Like, I just am a little bummed. And that's every right. That's his prerogative, and he's earned that right. Don't get me wrong. But I'm just like, man, like, come on. We could have done something with that. We could have moved you around because he didn't play. He hasn't been playing. You know, I know, shout out to him for helping create some offense in the game against San Jose. But again, it was against San Jose. I don't know. That's something that I feel like I just needed to get off my chest. I just really did. Love Alex Goligoski. I'm glad for him to have this swan song here in Minnesota, but I'm just like, I would have liked to trade him.
Well, also, and I don't want to harp on it either. I mean, he knows it hasn't been the best season for him as well, but I'm bummed for him in the sense, and granted it was his decision to not offer to move or waive his no move clause, but also this is going to be presumably his very last season in the National Hockey League before he retires, and he spent most of it sitting up in the box, and I don't think that's any way any player wants to go out. You want to play. So for his sake, just for him on a personal note, go somewhere where you're going to get playing time. Right. End your season playing.
Yeah, you would think so. I mean, that's what I would do. Although it's easy to sit in a press box and kind of collect a paycheck, right, and hang out. And I mean, obviously, it goes without saying, we all know family was the integral part of that. I mean, he's got his own family 100%. Here. He's got the kids. So I get that. I get it all. But I don't know. There's something about it. I'm just like, you know, need to expel this from myself because I'm just like, man, what could he? I mean, he wouldn't have gotten much. Don't get me wrong. Like, it's not like he was standing in the way of Minnesota being a contender by any stretch with a potential move. But I don't know. It just kind of rubbed me the wrong way, Kirsten.
Yeah, I don't know. I think for me, that's not the way I would want to go out for my NHL career or just hockey career, period. I would want to go somewhere where I was going to play. So I guess bummed for him in the sense that his final season was spent as a healthy scratch most of the year.
Yeah, well, like I said, Minnesota not going into the playoffs, so their regular season and season in general comes to a close, mercifully, this year. We'll have a bigger, deeper dive into that next week. The West is set. Kirsten, you've got Dallas, Winnipeg, Colorado, Vancouver, Edmonton, LA, Nashville, and Vegas. Any surprises there? We'll take a peek at what we had predicted, but I think that all jives pretty well.
I'm not surprised. I guess, no, I'm going to take it back. I'm not even surprised. I was going to say the only team who's really surprised me is the Nashville Predators, just having the year they've had. But I have been saying for the last 2 years, on paper, they should be one of the top teams in the Western Conference. So, no, I'm not surprised actually by that, because they are exactly where they should have been when you look at the squad that they have on hand.
I mean, finally, I think you and I have picked Nashville to be in the playoff mix very solidly for the past, 2 years, and they've disappointed each and every season. And now it's like, see, we knew this all along. Like, this is what they had. So I am very excited about that. I think it's all about right. I mean, I'm a little surprised Edmonton found their way back from what was a devastating start where they saw their head coach fired early on and losing streaks. But again, they had Connor McDavid. Love to see Vancouver continue on their way. Kind of excited that Winnipeg didn't fall off either. You know, I would have maybe liked to see St. Louis. I had this thought too, Kirsten. I think the NHL would have been less than thrilled if Minnesota made that wild card instead of a Vegas or a Nashville, because no offense, Minnesota doesn't exactly excite anyone. And furthermore, when they are 0-10 against those top three teams, it's not going to be a fun playoff series at all. I don't think there was going to be any David versus Goliath upsets in that first round. It would have been a very easy four-game sweep for Dallas or Winnipeg or Colorado.
Agreed, but I'm more hung up on the fact that you had said just a minute ago that you were happy to see Winnipeg didn't fall off.
I told you, I have this weird connection with Winnipeg. Like, gross. I think it's their fans are so passionate, right? And they're like fiery, gross. And I don't know. I'm sorry. I said it. I don't hate when I love when Winnipeg comes to town. It's like probably my favorite rivalry.
I don't like it.
That's fair. See, like, I feel that way.
Talk about. I don't wish for anyone to lose their favorite team, but I just remember a little. It was the buzz last month that the NHL's very concerned about Winnipeg's attendance numbers, and it's just funny. It's comical. Like, you weren't nervous about Arizona in their situation,
about that. Mm-hmm.
But you're worried about Winnipeg. That's what sounds the flag.
That's true. You know what? That was a beautiful transition. I don't even think that was an intentional. If it was, it's brilliant. If not, it was just, well, bravo. Bravo. I'm proud of you. Because that's how we're going to end this episode. Salt Lake City indeed getting the Arizona Coyotes. Arizona, that time is finally kaput. It is done. Sounds like they are going to be vying very hard to come back in the expansion draft in a couple seasons. You still got to figure out all the problems that are indeed what has happened to Arizona. It sounds like the AHL team will take up space in Mullet Arena, so at least that'll be put to some good use. It's funny, Kirsten, because it's like we're not surprised, right? We've been talking about Arizona being a dumpster fire for quite some time. And I'm saying that as fact as the organization and the city of Glendale and city of nobody being able to get that figured out, right? That's what I'm meaning. I know the fan base that is there can be very passionate, and I'm sorry for their loss, but it just kind of went from 0 to 100 because there's been constant reassurance that, nope, we're committed to Arizona. Gary Bettman has been committed to Arizona for years. This has been his baby. And then all of a sudden, in like one swift day, it's like, oh, yep, nope, we're going to Salt Lake City. And sorry, players, you're going to find out via social media because we've been trying to keep this from you, but your whole life is going to be uprooted. Like, just kind of utter chaos all in the span of 24 hours or less.
Well, one, has the owner even outright come forward and confirmed that they're moving to Salt Lake City? Like, I've seen all of the talk online, and he made like a vague statement about still how he's committed and doing what he can and blah, blah, blah. Quite frankly, I'm ready for the drama of the Arizona Coyotes to be done. I'm very mad and upset for the diehard fans in Arizona. I'm tired of the Arizona Coyotes organization lying to the NHL fans, to the league, to the Coyotes fans. They don't deserve that. They're the ones that are putting their butts in the seats, cheering on their team, trying to stay dedicated through all of this mess. And you are, and quite frankly, to your employees too, putting on this front, like, we're staying here. These are our plans. These are what we're doing. You're just lying to everybody. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone knows the situation. Just deal with it on hand. So frankly, I feel bad for everybody involved, the players, their families, the fans, but I'm just ready for it to be done.
Yeah, no, I believe the players were told 2 days ago officially that there is truth. I don't know that the owner continues to kind of play this cat and mouse game with the fans and the cities there, but yeah, it has been 3 decades of trying to make it work. And I guess the other frustrating part is it's for the growth of the game, right? Like, it's growing in Arizona. Auston Matthews is going to score 70 freaking goals in the National Hockey League. Guess where he's from? He's from Arizona, right? I mean, so I think for that, I'm hoping it doesn't negate or take away from the growth of the game in Arizona, because I think that's been a really, really exciting thing to see. I mean, the Coyotes moved from Winnipeg to Phoenix in 1996, so it has. It's just been kind of turmoil around them since Ryan Smith, who owns the Utah Jazz, is bringing them to Salt Lake City, in case you missed any of that. It'll be interesting. But the most fun thing we get to do when there is a new team in the mix, Kirsten, is we get to pick a new name. What would you call the Salt Lake City squad?
I just hope it's not the Utes.
It's all that comes to my head. I'm like, but that name sucks. It's so boring, but I know that's going to be up there, the Utes.
No, like, let's just be a little more creative. Is there some, like, lore surrounding, like, the Great Salt Lake? Like, I don't know, like a monster living in the Great Salt Lake? That's the only... I don't know much about Utah and its history. I know there's Mormons there.
I know there's Mormons, but
I don't
yeah.
know anything else about Utah.
See. There's a
They've
temple.
Very... Yeah, the Mormon temple. They're not going to do anything with Mormons.
The Salt Lake Tabernacle?
Maybe.
That's like a thing.
Something with wilderness, because it's very picturesque nature.
The wild?
Rock. Salt Lake Rockies. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking and know if... I think it'll be gorgeous, right? I'm a sucker for mountains, and I think it's going to look absolutely beautiful without question.
Yeah. Well, I was briefly in Salt Lake a few weeks ago and just... seeing the downtown, gorgeous.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
It strikes me as very hipster, right? Like, would it be, is that safe to say, you think? And I don't say that in a bad way. I mean, like, yeah, just kind of, I'm picturing a lot of breweries, maybe. Although they don't drink.
I've heard the downtown is lively.
Yeah. Do Mormons, what's their deal with, like, life? Like, they drink?
They don't drink.
They don't drink at all.
I can't speak for all, but from friends that I have, and have had of the Mormon faith, they can't gamble, no swearing, like no profanity, no gambling, no drinking, very polished.
Sounds like I would not do too well amongst that society. You know, there is, it's home to the greatest snow on earth. I don't love that. You got the avalanche already, so you can't really do much
with
that.
You can't do anything with the snow.
There is the low place in the high mountains, so maybe something about being like there. That's a tough one, because you're right, the Kraken was kind of easy, right?
Probably gonna be the Utes.
It's probably gonna
Salt
be the
Lake
Utes.
City Utes.
It's probably, although, well, yeah, no, that's probably what it is. There's a lot of parks. There are 5 national parks within 5 hours.
Yeah.
Maybe there's something, although maybe with his connection to the Utah Jazz, the owners, maybe there's some sort of ploy off of that. The trumpeters.
Maybe.
The sax.
Who knows? I'm excited to see the rebrand, I guess. We'll see. We'll see what they come up with.
I will. But no, truly, I mean, for Arizona Coyotes fans, apologies. We as Minnesotans know what that feels like. I actually had an interesting question the other day about, you know, what do you think would have happened had the North Stars not been relocated. It's something I've never really thought about. I was very young when the North Stars were a thing, right? Like I said before, college hockey was kind of my entrance before the Wild came. I am curious to think of what would have been if the North Stars were still, like, if they never left, would they have stayed here for the entirety, right? Or would they have been relocated just at a different time? Would they have won the Stanley Cup here instead of Dallas? Would we have a Mike Modano statue outside?
I was just about to say, the Mike Modano statue would be here.
Yeah.
And not in Dallas.
Right.
Which is just weird to me in general that Dallas, I guess, did that. Because I claim him as ours. Like, he works for our organization. Like, I don't know. I just think it's weird.
He was only here, what was it? I think two seasons maybe by the time he was playing, right? So he's spent the majority down in Dallas.
He's working in our organization. I don't know. To me, it's weird. It's weird.
Yeah.
Well, like, I get it. But I just, like, and granted, I was not alive during, like, the North Stars. So I don't fully get it. I just, from everything I've heard, and like even going in the hockey lodge and seeing like Mike Modano North Stars, like it feels like he's ours. Like we've claimed him.
Well, see, and I think the difference is because when they relocated, a lot of other teams upon relocation have changed their name. They didn't. It's the Stars. So it's like, it's very easy to continue that connection and continue that when it's like, he's played for the Stars his whole life. Well, yes, part of it was the North, part of it was the non-North. You know, like, I think that's different. Like, you see the Nordiques with a dramatic name change, the Thrashers with the big name change. Like, that's, they've all kind of done an overhaul where Dallas really went lazy with it and was like, you know what? We like what you guys did here with this. We're just going to call it the Dallas Stars.
Yeah, I'm sure that they did love that. I will say, going to the Frozen Four, there was a car ahead of me heading into the parking garage with a big Norm Green Still Stucks sticker on that rear view window. And honestly, I just respect the hell out of it.
I mean, we've talked about it before, and it's like, it's funny because I understand both sides of the argument of the one side where it's like, you know what, but we're the Minnesota Wild. We need to lean into that brand. This is the team now. This is everything, yada, yada. And then there are people that are, it's like part of it's yes, move on from the past, right? The North Stars are a part of our history, but it's not everything. I don't know. It's just very messy. I think it's just very, I think there's still so much bitterness about it, right? Because it just kind of was very abrupt. It was following a nice, deep Stanley Cup final run. And I think that's the other problem. You haven't seen success for the hockey team since the North Stars, right? I mean, not to that level of success anyway. So I think maybe it's almost like the 1980 Olympic team. You need somebody else to take that claim, win gold, so we can kind of also give that a break, give it a rest.
Yeah, I hear you.
I like the North Stars colors better. Like, I've said that before about the reverse retros. I like it with the black. You need the black in there. With the black and the yellow and the green and the white, it's nice.
Respectfully, and I know this is going to ruffle feathers, I'm bored of the play on it. The last, like, 3 years, the Wild have really, like, honed into it. And I get it. I get it because it is Minnesota history. It's part in – no, it's not part of the Wild organization history, obviously, but it's a huge part of Minnesota history and a huge part of the Minnesota Wild's fan base history. So I get it, but I think at this point, 24 years into the Wild franchise, there's a lot of other things you could do based on the Wild's history. I would like to see more of a play on that. That is my gripe.
That's fair. I could understand that. I think it's tough too, because like the Nordiques or the Whalers or those guys, like those logos are still so iconic. And again, because Dallas took the North Stars, it's like you can't, it just has a
Dallas
different vibe.
Dallas should have been forced to rebrand.
Yeah. Stand by it. There's still time. You guys change it. I mean, they tried with like those neon green glow in the dark,
so
like whatever
bad.
We're doing there. Dallas has tried in
so bad. Can Dallas go back to that?
Yeah.
Just
one more
I
thing
don't
that
like
we can
just
dislike about.
That.
I enjoy that.
I enjoyed it too.
I did. Because I don't like, see, there you go. I can't cheer for Dallas. Dallas right now is like my North Dakota. Like, North Dakota is probably the top team that I'm like, I cannot stand. I cannot cheer for them. I cannot support them in any manner. And that goes way back in the day, right, of the WCHA. Like, I can't swallow it. Like, you talked about death taxes and North Dakota fans being at college hockey rings. Death and taxes and booing North Dakota fans when they show up on the big screen during a college hockey game in Minnesota, right?
Yeah.
I booed.
Well, we'll go with that.
I booed. All right, guys, let us know what you think we should call the Salt Lake City team of some sort. Salt Lake City's kind of a mouthful, too. SLC? We call it the SLC?
No.
Everybody.
Salt Lake City's not that hard.
It's not, I guess.
It's three syllables. It's literally Minnesota, Salt Lake City. Three
Salt
syllables.
Salt Lake City. Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
Minnesota. Minnesota. Yeah, but Minnesota's just awesome. Nobody knows that.
Yeah. It's all about the syllables.
It is all about the syllables. But let us know what you think we should call them. Let us know who you've been pretty impressed with for the Minnesota Wild Squad. Any disappointments? Again, next week we will do an all-encompassing look at the season. What went wrong? What could have gone better? And then look ahead into the postseason. Don't forget, we are here still pretty much each and every week. We might take a couple hiatuses here and there because it's summertime and Kirsten and I enjoy to take an off season in the summer a little bit as well, but I'm sure it'll be plenty busy. So don't forget, we'll be each and every week. Live show coming up on the 24th, which is a Wednesday, down in Lakeville at Carboni's. Hope to see you guys there. It'll probably be our last live of the season, unfortunately, so come on out. Shout out to our sponsors, shout out to all of you guys, and of course shout out to the Minnesota Wild for giving us plenty to talk about this year. We'll see you next week. Have a great rest of your week, and go Wild. Near, 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 near.